38% Städte neu denken. Der Podcast für Städte der Zukunft, nachhaltiges Bauen und fortschrittliches Denken. Mit Lars von Green Engineers und Carina von Olymp Consulting.
Welcome to another episode of 38% Rethinking Cities. Today we have a very special podcast episode at Impact House in Antibes. And we have two fantastic guests with us. A warm welcome to Ian and Nina. Very happy to have you here.
Hello.
Nice to have you here. A warm welcome also from my side. Feel free to relax and sit back. So start with you, Nina. Who are you and what do you do at Leewood?
Sure. My name is Nina Čačković. I am an architect at Leewood, a design and construction company that is based in Munich, Germany, that builds and designs in modular CLT systems.
Fantastic. Thank you. Ian, who are you? What does Pinsense do and what's your role in it?
Thank you. So my name's Ian Gilby. I'm a real estate lawyer with Pinsent Masons. Pinsent Masons is an international legal firm. We have 27 offices on four continents, and I specialise in the built environment, residential development and commercial development. And over the last two or three years, we have done a study into modular housing and modern methods of construction. And have some views on the market in the UK and the opportunities in that market.
Nice to hear. Thanks. So Ian, can you take us into the UK market? And what is the situation regarding modular housing being a building? And what is the current situation regarding social housing?
Sure. So like many European countries, in the UK we're not building enough houses. So we have a yearly demand for 300,000 new homes in the UK, and we're building just less than 200,000 new homes. So every year there is a need which isn't being met. So there is agreement with government and with everybody involved in the industry that part of the answer to that is to build modular housing, because it can be built quickly at scale. It is more sustainable in the long term. And therefore, in the UK, there have been a number of new startup businesses, many of which sadly started in 2018, 2019, just before the global pandemic hit. So the problem that we've had in the UK is there's been a lot of new entrants into the market who started their business, and then there was no demand for their services during the pandemic period. And so a lot of them, sadly, have now come to an end. There are some firms in the UK who are still operating, but I think there's an opportunity for international operators to come into the UK market. And indeed, the UK government has said that it's supportive of that and wants to see more of that. You asked about social housing. So in the UK, one of the problems we have with social housing is that our government and many governments haven't been building social housing. So up until 20 or 30 years ago, government was building social housing for people in the UK. That's now pretty much stopped. So the only people who are building social housing are commercial developers and also large social housing providers. But they require funding money from government to make that happen. So the way it works in the UK, and I think it's similar in other countries as well, is if you build residential housing, you have to build a certain percentage. In the UK, it's typically 25 or 30% as social housing. The problem at the moment is because of the economy and because of interest rates, we're not building as many homes. So if you're not building as many homes, then 25% or 30% of that is much less. So there is a problem with the amount of housing that's being built, but there's an even bigger problem with the amount of social housing, because the social housing in the UK relies on the market housing, the commercial housing being built at the same time. So modular is part of the answer to this, because it doesn't rely on traditional workforce. We have another problem in the UK, which is our construction workforce. It's difficult to recruit people and to retain people in our construction workforce. Many of the people who are skilled are now aging, and it's difficult to attract young people. Young people want to work in media and tech and interesting new businesses. it's difficult to get people to work in construction. So one of the advantages of modular is that you can create new skills in a factory, you can bring new people into the workforce, younger people from different backgrounds, and you can construct your modular housing in a factory and then take it to site. So it doesn't rely on people who can lay bricks and pour concrete and erect steel frames in quite the same way. So it's definitely part of the answer, and I think in the UK, having had some failure, we're now kind of rethinking what we need to do and how we're going to take it forward.
Absolutely, it's very interesting. We already had some episodes about modular building. It's definitely a very, very important topic. But maybe let's switch to Germany and draw a comparison here, Nina. So how are we doing here regarding this topic?
Sure, we have some similar issues in comparison to UK. We are short on housing, as you guys know. Social housing is a big topic as well. Ian, you mentioned briefly, just to kind of tie into what you just said, the workforce, however, is not an issue in Germany because we have, especially in Bavaria, a history of building with wood especially. So there is a large workforce who's very well trained in this type of construction. I'm not sure how exactly it is in the UK, but we do have a lot of, as of recently I would say, a lot of government support to build in wood, more specifically, and to build modular. I can say maybe also from, as I'm an architect, and I can maybe talk a little bit more from architecture perspective, where I'm struggling at the moment, or really struggling at the moment, is this knowledge of what modular means. I think what the term you guys coined, the modern method of construction, defines it better. I have this trouble with the word modular because when we say to clients, to developers, to investors that we want to build in modular wood construction, they think, okay, here they come and they want to build like container type construction that's very limited. And I think this knowledge of the possibilities of building in modular and building in wood modular is still not exactly where it should be.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you talk about problems, so which kind of potential and opportunities do you currently see in Germany real estate market, and how we can ultimately avoid stranded assets?
Right, so we have seen that in Germany the recent trend has been very much in densification. That means in vertical extension, which makes a lot of sense for Germany, as we have a lot of buildings that have been built after the war in the 50s and 60s. And back in the day, the average square footage per person was much smaller than it is today. So we have these buildings that today have much less people living in them in comparison to 20, 30, 40 years ago, which means that the infrastructure is there, but the number of people living in these buildings is way less than they were meant to house. So at Leewood, we have a number of projects that deal with vertical extension, which means taking the existing building, in most cases, updating the facade and energy value of the existing building, and then adding 2-3 floors on top of it, expanding the livable area or square footage on top of it, which then plays into this whole question of add value to the existing.
So interesting what you say. Maybe we switch back to UK. So Ian, is vertical densification already happening in UK? And would that be an answer to the housing problems you mentioned before?
It's a good question. I think it's fair to say that we're not as advanced in the UK on vertical mm-hmm. extension. We have a very, very difficult planning system mm-hmm. in the UK. My job is to help my clients through the planning system mm-hmm. in the UK. And it's very complicated and very difficult, very political as well. So we are not using the vertical extension opportunity as much as in Germany. But there are two things to say. Firstly, there has been some change in policy which encourages vertical extension in the UK. And secondly, just in the last few weeks, the government has said that it wants to see much more development on urban land, on brownfield land, as we call it in the UK. In the UK, we have brownfield land, which is what we've been built on, greenfield land, which is green fields with sheep and cows. So in the UK, there's definitely a move towards more vertical and brownfield development. And there's one other very important point. So in the UK, we're now very focused on reusing existing buildings, mm-hmm. and sustainability. There's been some quite big cases in the UK where government has said you can't knock a building down, you need to reuse because of the embedded carbon, mm-hmm. that is within, yes. the building. And there's been some quite, you know, significant cases around that. So there's a lot to be said for keeping an existing building and then adding value to it and adding more accommodation for, by way of vertical extension. So I think now is a good time to be talking about this in the UK. It hasn't taken off yet, but I think it's a very important part, mm-hmm. of the mix going, mm-hmm. forward.
Interesting.
Imagine you got the magic wand from us and could do one thing in urban development in Germany or the UK that would last forever. What would that be?
Should I go first?
You go first.
Yeah. Sure. I'll just expand on again what you just said. I think I have. Can I do two wishes? The first wish would be to do some kind of a ban, complete ban on demolition. I really do agree that the energy and the carbon that's embedded in these buildings, I think it's absolute disaster and tragedy to just demolish these buildings because it's maybe easier to build new. And the second wish, as I am from Leawood, would be that the construction with concrete becomes part of the past and we stop building with concrete in the future.
Okay. Those are both very good ideas. So I don't know how I'm going to top that. I think in the UK, as I said, if you do a curve of how much housing we need and how much housing we're delivering, there's a big gap between the curve. And the only way of bridging the gap between the curve is for government to directly commission new housing development. If we rely on just the private companies in the UK to do that, it won't close the gap. So we're continually chasing a gap of housing that we're never going to close. So we need to reskill and we need to recommission our government, local government, national government, regional government, and give them the skills and the money, tax money, necessary to build housing, because without that, we won't close the gap. And that means that in the UK, housing becomes more and more unaffordable, and there is a growing need for more and more social housing and affordable housing to fill that gap. And at the moment, that gap isn't being met, which means that probably my children won't be able to afford to buy their own homes until they are in their 30s. Which is crazy, and that's the position that we find ourselves in the UK at the moment. So my one wish is that the government, the public sector as we call it in the UK, is given the skills and the money to try and start to deliver more homes.
Very interesting. Both wishes are very interesting. This was a very special episode, the first one in English and in Antibes, and the second video podcast. I hope you liked it. Thank you so much for your time, for being here. It was a pleasure.
Wir hoffen, die Folge hat euch gefallen und ihr konntet neuen Input mitnehmen. Damit ihr auch die nächste Folge am Donnerstag um 18 Uhr nicht verpasst, könnt ihr unseren Channel abonnieren und gerne auch eine Bewertung da lassen. Du findest uns auf Spotify, Apple Podcast und allen gängigen Podcast-Plattformen. Danke fürs Anhören und bis nächste Woche!